Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I got two Bibles and my phone. We're going to be here a while. Now, I just got some things to share with you this morning. And Sister Shirley had a wonderful week. She grew a lot this week. You know, things happen in our lives, and we just assumed that they hadn't. But our problem is we let the things that happen that we wish hadn't happened get us down so that we miss all the blessings of the good things that happen too. And serving the Lord is a good thing. Now, it's interesting, too, that I was scheduled to minister last Sunday, and the devil slipped in a pen stroke. And when I went to physical therapy last Monday, the guys looked at me and said, "You don't look so good." And I thought, duh. And so I didn't even finish all my physical therapy. Then I went back Wednesday, and I was a whole lot better than I was Monday. And they could tell it. And then I went back Friday, and I was even better Friday than I was Monday. And gradually recovering. And the one thing that has not completely recovered was my voice. But the devil is a liar, and you can hear me. You can understand me. So that's the important thing. That's the important thing. I want you to bow your heads, and I want to pray before I start. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you anoint what I have to say this morning, that the word of God will go forth with power, and that we will see who we are in Jesus Christ. We will understand what Jesus Christ did for us. And we will walk in it. We will begin to walk in it more than we've ever walked in it before in our lives. And I thank you, Lord God, this morning that we have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and wills to be obedient unto your will. In everything we do this morning, Lord God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Let it change our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject of living your legacy. Living your legacy. Now I'm going to go to my phone here and we're going to look at a couple of things as soon as I get through all of the things. Do you know there's a world out here that a lot of hopelessness in? And you know, the younger generation, in many cases, is being taught that they are victims. They are victims. The poor people are victims of the rich people. Did you know there was a time when those rich people were poor people? There was a time when Bill Gates was just an ordinary person. Who gave Bill Gates what he has? It's a legacy that he has built by his efforts. We talk about the Rockefellers. Somebody started that legacy. Wherever you see success, ExxonMobil, it didn't all of a sudden just, there it is. Now, despite what's happening and the changes in the world and all the things that are happening, and people are building legacies. Most of them, though, are leaving inheritances. Now, there's a little bit of difference between an inheritance and a legacy. Listen to what it says about a legacy. What does it mean to leave a legacy. It means putting a stamp on the future and making a contribution to future generations. People want to leave a legacy because they want to feel that their life mattered. There's a lot of people in the world today that the way they've been taught, the way they've been raised, and the environment they've been in, they don't believe they matter at all for anything. It's like the life of an animal fighting for survival. Not going to ever accomplish anything. You just hope you stay alive. You just hope there's something to eat tomorrow. People want to leave a legacy because they want to feel that a lot their life mattered. Now, one more. A lasting legacy is all about the actions you take during your life and the way those actions affect how people remember you. People learn how to leave a legacy to ensure their loved ones will be taken care of when they're gone and always remember them with love. A lasting legacy. You know, there's been a lot of money handed down from one generation to the other, but there was never a legacy. The children got the money, but that's all they remember. What did your parents say? I don't know. Never saw them much. I remember every time I go home, we'd get into it about something. They never did write. I never did go out. You know, we'd call maybe once a week. We don't have a legacy. But now I'm going to tell you this. You've got to understand that you not only create a legacy and leave it behind you, but you are a part of a legacy. You are a part. You can look at anything with regard to your parents, your grandparents, or whatever they did for you or whatever they didn't do for you, whichever way, one way or the other, there was a legacy. There was something they handed down to you, even if it was a bad taste in your mouth. And some people have to overcome their legacy. But you know, if you're a child of God, I want to talk to you about the legacy that you're living in. Not an inheritance that you're going to have when you get to heaven, but a legacy that you're living in now. And I want to start in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Let me read it again in the light of what I'm saying this morning. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you a legacy among all those who are sanctified. God left you a legacy through Jesus Christ. And we're going to see a little more deeper about that later on. And I hope when you leave here this morning, you realize who you are and what you have. And that you don't go out of here feeling like you're a victim of something. But you go out of here walking like Sister Shirley read this morning from Romans 8. You're more than a conqueror. You're above and beyond what the world is. If you live like you're in this world, you will live like you're in this world. And it will not be fun. Ephesians chapter 1. In in verse 11. In him, who's the him? Jesus. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. In him also we have obtained a legacy. It doesn't say we will attain it. We have obtained it. We have it now. We live like we're waiting for it in the sweet by and by. We think sometimes like we're waiting for it in the sweet by and by. We think that, well, all the problems are going away when we get to heaven. Everything will be fine. But it's like Sister Shirley said this morning, like I'm going to say a little more because one of my scriptures is from Romans 8. And we got to start seeing ourselves not as victims, but as conquerors. The devil comes up, punches you right between the eyes, bloodies your nose, causes a pin stroke, causes a clotted artery. You're not a victim. You're still an overcomer. Did you know I'm a little past 4 years old? I was 4 years old February the 4th. That's in my second life. February the 4th. 4 years since I died. Here I am. Because I believe, and because my wife believed. We talk about raising the dead and moving mountains and slaying giants. And I still remember, some of you may remember it, the trip to Laverne and I made years ago down to Mexico when the little two-year-old girl died in my arms and God brought her back to life. There was an EMT there that testified that the girl was dead. Now she's grown, God, the girl is older than she was then. And when I was standing there in front of that congregation holding her and praying for her, and all of her bodily functions released like it does when you die. And I'm standing there and God's speaking to me saying, just hold her close to you. There are legacies that are being created. I was talking the other day, like I said, Friday at physical therapy, and we were talking, one of the men in there, and you get well acquainted with people over a period of time that I've been over there. He's from Casey County, and he knows I'm a minister and pastor of church. And he asked me Friday if I was going to preach Sunday morning, because they know that I don't preach regularly. He said, you're going to preach Sunday morning? I said, well, at this point, I think I am, but I don't know for sure yet. Hadn't cleared things. Well, what are you going to preach about? I said, I'm going to preach on the subject of living your legacy. And I shared with them. And one of them asked me this question. One of the guys, you know, came up to me after I'd preached for about 5 or 6 minutes, getting ready to leave. I said, well, I better go so you guys can close up because I was the last patient. One of the younger guys came over to me and he stuck out his hand and he said, I just want you to know I really appreciate what you had to say the last few minutes. It's really touched me. I said, well, thank you. And one of the other men said, what? So what do you want people to remember about you? What do you want them to remember you by? What do you want them to think of you when you're gone? thought for a minute, and I said, I want people to remember me and say, he was a man of God. Perfect? No. And you know, sometimes we have our problems because we expect everybody else to be perfect. Not us. We know we got our faults, but we expect everybody else to be perfect. And that make a fault, and it's a personal offense to us that they weren't perfect. You're going to make some mistakes. But in the midst of your mistakes, you're going to have victories. And you got to focus on the victories that you have, not on the mistakes that you make. Because you see, the devil can convince you that you made a mistake when you really didn't. Or you can make a little mistake and he'll cause it to, you know, it was the size of a Hershey Kiss mistake. But by the time he gets through telling you about it, it's as big as Mount Everest. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. This is Ephesians 1:11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. People ought to see our part of the legacy that Jesus Christ left for us. See, you don't have to create a legacy from scratch. You got a legacy living in you if you are a child of God, and that legacy is the legacy that Jesus Christ established when he was on this earth. And he passed it on to us. And he said things like, go preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. If you receive, freely give. Things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. All of those things that God's done for us and left us. All the things that Jesus Christ accomplished and passed on to us. All according to God's will and purpose. All according to his counsel. He's given it to us. And you know, he's given it to us so that we might be the praise of his glory. Be the praise of his glory. It's whether you are or not, things are going so bad. Everything's happening. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I go to church every Sunday. On Wednesday night. Never special meeting. And I just don't let things go right. I'm going to tell you folks, and please don't misunderstand the way I say this. The past 10 years, I've had enough opportunity to crawl under a rock and stay there if my thinking hadn't been right. And you know, I don't blame God for anything that happened to me. You know, even good soldiers can get shot. Even somebody that's military trained the best he can be trained can end up in front of a bullet. Things just happen because there is a thief that comes for no other reason other than to steal and to kill and to destroy. And my life does not consist of me sitting around moaning and groaning about what I've gone through the last 10 years. It stands to say God is victorious and he has brought me through. And no matter what happens tomorrow, I stand in victory today. And that's the legacy that all of us have. Romans 8, let's go there again. I'm not going to spend much time. I just want to call your attention to something to let you know. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now let me just say this. That's exactly what happened to you the other day. The Spirit of God in you rose up. I'm a child of God. Let's straighten this thing out. I respect you for that and I compliment you. And if children, then heirs. Heirs. An heir is somebody that inherits something. It belongs to them. It's theirs to keep. It's theirs to use. It's theirs to enjoy. Then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, did you know that there's more than one meaning with the word suffer? I mean, suffer can mean being excruciatingly in pain, having some kind of a sickness or some kind of a disease that you're suffering with. You can have a lack of money and you're suffering financially. But did you know Jesus made a statement? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Now, does that mean make those little kids miserable? It just simply means agree to let them. Don't stand in their way of them coming to me. Suffer them to come. And if we suffer with him, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go through painful stuff. It may mean you've got to go through some painful stuff. But suffering is just simply an agreement. Agree to let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Make it possible for them to come to me. If we suffer with Jesus, if we come to him, if we stay with him, if we give our lives to him and accept his life from us and become joint heirs, Jesus already got his part. He's not waiting for anything. And if we're joint heirs with him, we already got our part. We're not waiting for anything. It's just going to keep getting better and better and better as we get closer and closer and closer. Why? Because it's his legacy that he left to us. And we live sometimes like we think we've got nothing. But he's given us everything. And it's just a matter of how we get our mind to work and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't get transformed from this world by works. You've got to have your mind renewed by the Word of God. The more you start thinking like this book says, the less you're going to start feeling the victim of the world. You're going to leave a legacy because you're living a legacy. Money that you leave, in most people's case, not going to make that much difference in the lives of the people you leave it to. You know, we, out there where we are, the little 13 acres that we've got left, we own the whole section of the county out in there at one time. Between my dad and my two grandpas, we owned about 300 acres. Now we got 13. That's what my dad had when he left me an inheritance. And oh, by the way, my dad would have been 100 years old today if he had lived. 100 years old today. But we've got that 13 acres. And I may have said this before, but there's been 6 generations. Little Creed makes a 6th generation to live on that farm. 6 generations. And I remember all of them. I got right in the middle. Your legacy. Now, I'm going to read a scripture and then close. I'm going to read this from a Message Bible. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. No one is missing, no one forgotten. No one is missing, no one is forgotten. God hasn't lost track of any of his children. God the Father has his eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you obedient through the sacrifice of Jesus. May every good thing from God be yours. In other words, to keep it in line with what I'm saying this morning, God's given you a legacy. May you understand and walk in it. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have him. This Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and everything to live for. A legacy. Live up to it. He laid hands on the sick, they got healed. That's your legacy. He spoke to the dead, they got raised. That's your legacy. He got a coin out of a fish's mouth to pay his taxes. That's your legacy. Whatever you need. Everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all. Life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel. even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him. With laughter and singing. It's amazing how God puts these services together from the time they start till the time they end. And none of us know what the other one's doing. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to. Total salvation. The prophets who told us this was coming, ask a lot of questions about this gift of life God was preparing. The Messiah's spirit let them in on some of it, that the Messiah would experience suffering followed by glory. They clamored to know what, or to know who and when. All they were told was that they were serving you. You who by orders from heaven have now heard for yourselves through the Holy Spirit the message of those prophecies fulfilled. Do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this. Roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, just doing what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. Let your legacy be Jesus' legacy. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I'm holy, you be holy. You call out to God for help and he helps. He's a good father that way. But don't forget, he's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it was only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge, God always knew he was going to do this for you. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. You have a legacy passed on to us by Jesus. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one another as if your life depended on it. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. You think, just think, a life conceived by God himself. That's why the prophet said, the old life is a grass life. Its beauty as short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers droop. God's word goes on and on forever. This is the word that conceived the new life in you. This is not just a book. This is not just God telling the salvation story of Jesus Christ. This is your legacy. This is what God prepared for you to live in. This is what he prepared for you to live like. Yes, there's a struggle. Yes, there are choices. There's a choice to be a victor, or there's a choice to be a victim. There's a choice to be a defeated foe, or there's a choice to be a victorious conqueror. And you make them. But they're there for you to have. They're there for you to take. They're there for us to live in. We all have a legacy. I'm not going to leave my children much when it comes to material things. But I hope I leave them a legacy of God that they will never forget. And something that will change their lives, and their children's lives, and their grandchildren's lives. Live your legacy. Live the one that's written in here. Not the one that your everyday experiences try to write you. You know, when we go where we need to go, and when we do what we need to do, we'll find less and less that there are things that are hindering us from being what God has given us to be. I have a tremendous legacy. It came from my older brother. And our common father. Because I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And if we're children of God, then we're joint heirs with Christ, and that makes us brothers and sisters with him. We got it all, folks. We got something the world can never know about. And sad to say, a lot of God's kids don't know about it. Because they've never heard about their legacy. But now you go out and you live your legacy. And God will provide. He'll take care of you. He promised to. Stand. That wasn't too long for your phone and two Bibles. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. So much that you did these things for us. That you made a wonderful life possible. If we'll just submit to you. And if we'll just have faith. And Lord, as we leave this place today, as we go out into the world, let us not become part of the world, but let us be standouts. Let us be like a light in a dark room. One little bit of light put all the darkness in a room out. And 50 miles of darkness can't put out a light. Because the light always overcomes the darkness. Help us to walk and to live and to believe that we are the light of the world. And Jesus gave us that legacy. And he gave us that opportunity. And we thank you, Lord God, for it. In Jesus' name, bless your people as they go home. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Live your legacy.